Now, from Fan Run Radio, it's the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Raw, unfiltered, real.
And we are on the Fan Run Radio app, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, live at Hopton Hollers. We've been wondering, what is the worst loss of the Rick Barnes era? Davey Hudson, we might have just seen it. 865-546-8200. 565-546-8200. Davey, can you hear me back at the studio? Is everything coming in loud and clear over here?
All good over here, John.
That was abysmal. That was brutal. That was no good. As Tennessee loses by 7. Gives up an 18-2 run. Or 18-0 run. 18-0 run. It was a 20-2 when I saw it. As Tennessee loses 73-266, a heroic performance by Jordan Bowden does not save Tennessee as we ultimately fall short by 7. Bowden wasn't able to really do anything for you down the stretch, but I'm not blaming Jordan Bowden at all. This was coaching malpractice. No matter how you want to cut it, no matter how you want to spin it, there have been games this year that is simply you've lost the game because of a lack of talent. No big deal there. You've lost that game because of a lack of a talent. You look and you say, okay, we got the reinforcements coming next year. Hold steady. I don't feel like today was lost by a lack of talent. I thought today was lost by a lack of coaching. I thought today was a really, really, really bad performance from Rick Barnes, who watched that 18-0 run without calling a timeout. No timeout to try to stop Auburn from scoring. No timeout to try to stop Tennessee from turning the ball over. No timeout to try to get his point guard back in the game, who he helped foul out by putting him on the bench with 4 fouls. And then Tennessee's offense went completely down the drain, and Tennessee was never able to get back on track. 865-546-8200. Hayden Wallen's over here at Hobson Hollers watching it with me. Hayden, as you bring your microphone on to get ready. Oh my God, can you put your headset on? You good to go?
Yeah, I think we're good.
We're good to go now. Hayden, I've given my thoughts on the game. Let's get your thoughts before we go to some callers.
Yeah, super disappointing to get up that big and just completely fall apart when one player goes out of the game, like Vescovi with 4 fouls. You hate to see Pearl do it to us, especially. And in a game that Auburn didn't particularly play their best, especially early on, but, I mean, if you look at the free throw margin for Auburn, they would have been in the game earlier than when they made the run if they would have just made their free throws, and they couldn't make free throws all day. And that's what gave us the big lead, and then they went on the run.
It was brutal. Tennessee was up 17. And really before you knew it, in a 6-minute span, that lead was completely gone. Completely gone. Davey, your thoughts back at the studio as we get you in.
You know, it's one of those things where when you're watching in the first half and everything seems to be clicking, you feel good, but at the same time, you just know these types of teams like Auburn, if they can keep it close in the second half, they're going to win. They seem like they win every game that goes to overtime this year. And Barnes' coaching decisions for the entire second half were by far the worst this season, and I believe you could argue at his time as the head coach at the University of Tennessee. I don't know what he was thinking. Now, if he won't ever say this, but I mean, the best rationale I can at least get behind is that he knows this season is over and he's just working on getting to next year and just trying to have people run. Because, like, we ended the game with, what, 3 timeouts? Two. Okay, he took another one. Okay. After you give up 2 runs in the second half of over, gosh. I know you had the one that was 18-0. You had another one, I believe, you got up to 9 or 10-0. And you're not really trying to put your team in a situation to where you can at least slow them down and hopefully limit Auburn. It's coaching malpractice, as you said. There's no other way to put it.
I mean, again, there's been games where you look around and Tennessee just doesn't have the horses. I understand that. But, I mean, this is a game where you watched your team give up a 20-2 run, an 18-0 run, and you tried to do nothing to fix it. Davey, go ahead. Let's get some callers. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. Let's go ahead. If you are listening live on the radio, let's move off the radio. Let's go to app only. You can go to fanrunradio.com. You can download the Fan Run app. You can check later to get the podcast if you don't know how to download apps. But I guess if you don't know how to download apps, you're not going to know how to check a podcast. You'll find it or you won't find it, I guess. Look up Fox Sports Knoxville on Facebook. I assume you know how to do Facebook. David, let me know when we are app only.
John, we should be good to go. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. We good on there. We got John and Ryan on the line.
Correct.
Ready to go app only. So we're good?
Yep.
All right, let's go first to John. John, welcome to the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. John, are you there? What a loss that was.
We're all good on this end.
Good at all. You making sure the audio is going to the phone on the board?
Yep, it is.
Okay, let's just wait on John. Is John still there? I mean, while we wait on John, it was a no-show by John Fulkerson, who was in foul trouble. But even when he wasn't in foul trouble, it wasn't like he gave you an awful lot. He was 2-6 from the field. It was Pons, who gave you 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting. It was Josiah Jordan James, who was 2 for 2 from the field, yet for some reason doesn't want to look for his own shot. I don't understand what Josiah's timidness is. I don't understand why he's so timid. You have a 5-star body. You can get to the rim. You can get to any spot on the court you want to get to. Shoot the ball more, especially in moments where Tennessee needs help offensively. Vescovi had some stretches in the first half, but he found himself in foul trouble. He only played probably, what, 15 minutes or so in the game at most? It was a bad performance, as only 2 players were able to give you double figures tonight. Jordan Bowden tried everything he could to get this team in position to win. All right, let's. We gave up on John. John, try calling back. Maybe it's on our end. Maybe it's on your end. Let's see if it works with Ryan. Ryan, welcome to the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite.
What's up? I'm glad you went app only because fuck. How did we lose that game?
We lost it because we couldn't score, and then all of a sudden Auburn started making 3-point shots.
And Josiah Jordan James is pure ass. Is part of that reason too, because I mean, he just once he gets the ball, he just has no idea what to do with it. I've never seen a 5-star just look. He doesn't look like a D1 player out there most of the time. Like, he's so timid. He acts like he has no coordination at times. I can't even Hubs. You could just see like the athleticism just oozing out of him, and you could see the talent was there. He was just like timid, kind of like Jordan James, but I feel like Jordan James is just on another level. Like, sometimes he doesn't even look like he knows how to play basketball.
Josiah, not Jordan. Well, I guess it's Jordan James. I guess that's on both of us.
Yeah, but whatever you want to call
him. Right with the Hubs comparison, they both have timidness. It's like We can't find a five-star who checks all the boxes. Because I'll say even at the beginning of his career, you know, best of my memory, I feel like Tobias Harris was a little timid at first. But at least Tobias was coming into a veteran-laden team that had leadership. And then I feel like with Scotty Hobson, Scotty was the opposite. I feel like Scotty maybe was a little too cocky when he came in. He was at school the same time I was, and I know Scotty walked around telling people he was a five-star All-American one and done. So maybe he was a little too cocky. We can't find the right mix when it comes to five-star talent and aggressiveness. Tennessee's still looking for that.
Well, like, I remember watching whenever we got Josiah. I remember watching, like, just, you know, like a couple of YouTube videos of just him in high school. And even then, I didn't think that he looked like a typical five-star to me. I think Springer looks like a stud. It's just he looks like he's a little bit short to play shooting guard if that's what he ends up playing. But no, we don't have like any five stars that are just out here looking like they can potentially be the number one pick. Like we're looking at, you know, we get five stars that are fringe borderline first round picks, like at the end of the first round.
Say that one more time for me.
I said that it seems like the five stars that we get are just like, they don't come in and look like they're top five picks. They come here and play like, if he leaves, he could maybe make the end of the first round.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, Tobias was the last pick of the lottery. So, you know, he was good, and he had turned it on towards the end of the play. But, yeah, even he was a late lottery pick. Tennessee has yet to find the five-star that can come in and completely change the program. I don't know if that gets me more excited for hoping that these next batch of five-stars next year can change the narrative, or if it makes me nervous that it's going to be more of the same, and maybe simply looking at your recruiting rankings don't matter that much.
I mean, I get that Barnes should have called. I mean, he should have called two timeouts probably in that 18-0 stretch, but this team is so frustrating, and I don't know if that's all on Barnes. I feel like it's probably a little bit on Barnes and mostly on the players because I don't know. It's so frustrating to watch this team. Like, I tweeted out and said, this is the most frustrating team I've ever watched. I can't remember a Tennessee basketball team that has pissed me off more than this team has.
No, it was very frustrating. And it's extra frustrating because it was so fun, you know, for 30 minutes. That was the Tennessee basketball team you had been waiting to see. Jordan Bowden had broken out of its slump, or out of his slump, excuse me. And it looked like, you know, this team was getting ready to make a run where they're going to get back on the bubble and maybe make the tournament, and everything was going to be fun. And then it all came crashing down over like a 6-minute stretch. It was bad. Very bad.
To get this team after last year's team is it makes you want to pull your hair out every game. Because last year's team was obviously so much fun. You grew with that team because all of those kids were pretty much juniors and seniors. So you got to kind of grow with them. You knew what each of their strengths and weaknesses were. And you just felt like all their hard work, like, just came to, like, the climax last year. And it was so much fun to watch. And then you get this team that they can just have stretches where they look like a really strong tournament team. And then they have stretches where they go 8 minutes without getting a bucket. And they just have no idea who to go to.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why I'm not going to go full out. Like, I'm very mad at Rick Barnes today. I think Rick Barnes did a very, very bad coaching job today. I'm not blaming this game all on him either way. Like, I'm giving him a lot of blame. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's getting 60, 70%. But, I mean, at a certain point, you have to have some players out there who know how to dribble a basketball. And maybe he has to recruit those players. Or maybe Vescovi has to not pick up dumb fouls, because that fourth foul on Vescovi, I didn't really see a replay on it, but it was on an inbound pass when he was trying to be a one-man press. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like Tennessee was pressing. It wasn't like Tennessee was asking for pressure. He was up there doing that on his own and drew his fourth foul, and that completely took him off the court. So I'm going to blame Barnes. He's going to get 60, 70, maybe even 80% of this, but the players failed to execute, and not only did they not have anybody who could get a bucket, they had nobody who could dribble the ball and get anybody else a bucket. And that's the worst. We had no point guard who could score, or no point guard who could set other people up to score.
So last thing I'm going to say is, because all I really have to look for is next year. Like, this year just pretty much seems shot. If they would have won today, I think everybody would have got back on board. But looking at next year, my biggest takeaway from today, Gaines is going to be a pivotal part next year. Like, he's going to be a very, very solid role player. Like, he's not going to start, obviously, but to have someone like that come off the bench who can just just irritate some of your best wing players to death like he can. And he plays so hard. Like, I got to give Barnes some credit for finding that guy, because he was not a big recruit, but he looks like he's going to be an important part of your depth next year for sure. I'm all on the Gaines gang with
you. I thought Gaines played really well, and I thought I agree with you. I hope he stays in the rotation. I hope he's somebody who can develop into a poor man's J.P. Prince by his junior or senior year. I see that same type of defensive, put back, just knowing how to play basketball type of impact that J.P. Prince one had here. I appreciate the phone call, Ryan. I appreciate you listening. I'm going to keep it moving. Have a good rest of your Saturday. 865-546-8200. Davey, do we have John still? Is John going to try again, or is John giving up?
John has given up. I did want to say, you were kind of making the J.P. Prince comparison. I guess from a size perspective, that's pretty good. But when I was watching his defense, man, it kind of reminded me of a young Josh Richardson out there, just being extremely scrappy. The offense wasn't there early. Obviously, it took Jay Rich a couple of years to kind of get that going, but that would probably be the comparison I would like to make for him. But yeah, I agree. Like, Gaines gave you some critical minutes there, and just there were several times where he kept Auburn from scoring baskets in situations where it's like, if they could have got that to go, like, we probably are getting beat by double digits. So I got to give him a lot of credit. Outside of Bowden, I'd probably give him the second best performance of the day. You kind of were talking about Vescovi.
I thought Vescovi had moments with Vescovi. Not giving him best grade of the day. Second best grade of the day. His fouls were problematic. Yeah. He didn't play a smart game. He had 5 turnovers. Like, Tennessee had 24 turnovers as a team. Hey, let me read these to you. Fulkerson, 4 turnovers. Bowden, 2. Like, Bowden was awesome today. Bowden, you have avoided any type of criticism today, because you can't score and be the ball handler. Like, that's not on you. That's not fair to ask you to have to bring the ball up and still find a way to score the points. I'm not blaming you there, buddy. Jordan Bowden, congratulations to you. You are today's MVP. But Ponce, we had 3 turnovers. Josiah Jordan James, 6. How many times did he get his pocket picked just from behind? Vescovi, 5. Like, that's very bad. It's no good. You're not going to win that way. 865-546-8200. Hayden, what's the problem here? Is it just that you don't have enough guys who can handle a basketball? Is it just that the team doesn't have an alpha? Because, I just gave Jordan Bowden a pass, but I do think Jordan Bowden's mentality kind of hurts Tennessee in these situations where he can't be the senior who steps up and says, hey, this is on me, let's get it done. Because if it was last year, Hayden, Rick Barnes maybe could get by with not calling a timeout. If you had Jordan Bone and Grant Williams and Admiral out there, you might not have to call a timeout. You might could rely on your seniors and juniors to say, hey, guys, calm down. Dump it down to Grant. We'll get a bucket. Everything's fine. He was coaching today as if he still had those guys. And obviously he does not. It doesn't work quite the same when you're trying to dump it into the post to Ponce. What was the biggest problem today, in your opinion?
Well, first off, the turnovers, like you said. I don't know if you saw it because you were walking up here when we did it, but we were turning ourselves over with, like, Ponce walking into the back of Josiah, and Josiah just turns it over with, like, 3 minutes left.
Yeah, and there was the 10-second thing where Fulkerson and Bowden, two of your juniors and seniors, those are your leaders, don't dribble the basketball across the court in 10 seconds. That was not on Rick Barnes. Granted, he could have caught a timeout to try to stop that with, like, 22 seconds left whenever it looks obvious that they don't realize what's going on, but the players, I'm not giving them a pass either. This is not 100% on the coaching. The players completely lost their mind.
Yeah, and I think another aspect is just not having – this whole year we haven't had 2 players play great at the same time. Today we had Bowden, and the last few weeks it's been Fulkerson, but where did Fulkerson go today?
Fulkerson's official stat line, 2 for 6, 2 for 2 from the free throw line, 6 points, 2 rebounds, 1 block, 4 turnovers, 2 fouls.
And we've been seeing him get about pretty much a double-double the last few weeks, about 16 points, 10 rebounds. And he was pretty much – I know he missed most of the first half because he was in timeout over there on the bench after 2 fouls. But I think that's definitely a factor, just not having somebody to dribble the ball up the court with the turnovers, with Vescovi being in foul trouble, and then just not having an inside presence on offense.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, you don't – it seems as if, you know, Barnes is still wired to, hey, if we need a bucket, let's go to the post. And, again, the last 3 years, especially the last 2 years, that works. You give it to Grant Williams, he gets you a bucket or he gets fouled or creates for someone else. You could do that. You know, Tennessee, ironically enough, their best offense down the stretch was putting Vescovi in the high post. And he, you know, had a nice drop off to Fulkerson that led to two free throws. And he had a dump off, I believe, to Bowden, which got him his dunk at the end of the game. So, you know, he still wants to get his playmakers in the post, and it just wasn't working. You don't really have anybody who can do that. You don't really have anybody who can do that right now on this team. And again, the roster's not great. And you can say, hey, that's still Rick Barnes' fault because of, you know, recruiting. But this was a complete collapse all around. Rick Barnes, after the game, according to Grant Ramey, who's out down in Auburn at the press conference, says Rick Barnes says he would have taken a timeout during that 18-0 Auburn run if he thought it would have helped his team. But he said they failed to execute out of timeouts at times too. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's grab Zach. Zach, thanks for joining the show. The floor is yours.
Reed. Davey.
Zach.
Hey, I listened to Talk Sports on Friday, and, you know, when you and Cody were talking about either the excitement of the level of the game, I was more towards Cody. I wasn't very excited about it. Then okay. When it tipped off, I got excited. I probably would give Barnes a B-plus A coaching effort in the first half. I thought he was on the refs. I think we got some favorable calls just because he stayed on them, got the technical foul. Didn't really mind that too much, the way his team was competing and scrapping.
No, I like the technical. You know, we were out here at Hops and Hollers, live watch party, live voluntary action. Everyone in attendance clapped when Rick Barnes got a technical. For a minute, everyone thought it might have been on Uros because he was being a little demonstrative. And we're like, hey, Uros, you're not doing anything for the team. You can't come out here and be a negative and get a technical. But then they flashed on CBS saying technical foul on Rick Barnes. And everyone like you, Zach, said, hey, at least he's fired up. At least he's protecting his guys. Yeah. I agree with you. The first half, I thought the coaching job was pretty good.
On that stretch, you had Vescovi get the turnover. It was a walk. I actually tweeted it out. That was by no means a walk. It was two steps and a pass. I don't even know what the ref was looking at. Then the next possession, you come down. They call a charge on Vescovi. Should have been a block. So those two bad calls in a row, that's when Rick then gets the technical foul. And I agree with you all. That was a good time to make the decision to get that T.
Can I ask you something? Is, you know, the last caller was talking about how bad – he's getting it pretty bad online, is Josiah James. Is he hurt? Is he 100%?
He might still be. I mean, obviously he's been dealing with an issue. You know, his hamstring, I believe it was, has been bothering him. I thought he looked pretty good against South Carolina, which granted, those hamstrings we know can flare up at any moment. I didn't watch him today thinking that he was hurt. Like, to me, the issue with him today wasn't that he didn't have explosiveness. It was just the same kind of timidness that he's had all year. So, can he be hurt, Zach? For sure. But is that affecting his play and aggressiveness? I don't think so.
Because if he ain't, it's pretty bad. I mean, you know, I mean, I think it's evident that he didn't help. He really hurt us that game, especially in the second half. And six turnovers, if you're not scoring or doing anything else, you can't turn the ball over six times. When you turn the ball over 24 times, Reed, you know basketball more than anybody. We knew. You know, we probably felt pretty fired up going in that second half, but we knew there was a run coming. We knew Auburn was going to come and make a run of it. Whether that was, I didn't see it 19 straight points, but, you know, we were comfortable that they would make a run. But what, you know, you can't keep doing is turning the ball over if you can't score.
I mean, turning the basketball over when a team's making a run is basically, Zach, pouring gasoline onto a fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't put a fire out if you're just putting gasoline on it. And turnovers is gasoline to the fire when a team's making a run. And Tennessee just brought the gas can out and just sat there and just kept helping them out and just kept pulling a trail all the way back to taking the lead. It was, Tennessee, the worst thing you could do is make turnovers and, you know, have those turnovers. And Tennessee had them.
Yeah, I'll say this and get out of your way. I'm pretty pissed off about the loss. I mean, I know this season hasn't gone the way we have, you know, and we've been pretty frustrated, but I gotta admit, I'm pretty frustrated after this game. I'm pretty pissed the way that went down. It pretty sums up our season. I'm looking forward to football. You guys take care. See ya.
Appreciate the phone call, Zach. How about that? Football is back to being our escape. You know, the last couple of years, basketball has been our saving grace. And now basketball has us pissed off, hoping for football. Hey, you and Davey spark up a little bit of a conversation. I got to run to the bathroom.
Okay.
I guess, man, like, we kind of thought after Vanderbilt the season was over. And I guess when you're talking like being mathematically eliminated, you always got a shot. You got the SEC tournament coming up. But, I mean, I'm more inclined to think for the rest of this season, you got to be thinking of whether this team can even make the NIT. Because, like, I mean, they've been in some of these games late, but they continue to just collapse there at the end. And you can argue whether it's coaching, whether it's just the inability of players to make plays. But either way you want to slice it, like, this is not a good team. And I don't know.
Yeah, I think that either way you look at it, it's disappointing all around. I thought I'm not sure that you had to win today's game to make the tournament. In my opinion, I thought that you would still be in the conversation even if you lost at Auburn and at Kentucky. But it's just, I mean, hindsight just makes it look so much worse. I mean, you had it up 17 points and. I guess you could, if you win out, you could still be in the conversation, but it's just frustrating to lose like that. There's a tweet that I just saw that said Joe Lunardi just said that with the big win today, Tennessee is firmly back on the bubble. So he must have tuned out early.
Well, I mean, he was just saying, like, obviously getting a win over the 13th ranked team in the country is going to boost you to where you're going to have that win on the schedule. Like, if I think beforehand, the Vols were 2-8 against quad one teams this year. Like, at this point, like, I always like to make the argument, you're going to put in a mid-major who's at least, like, won their quad one games that they've won over a team that's had ample opportunities and just continue to fail. And I know we got Auburn again last game of the regular season, but this is the game you needed to beat them with because they're going to get Okoro back. And Okoro, he's a top 10 pick in next year's draft, and they just play so much better with him on the court. And if you watched last year, obviously, whenever we played Auburn, like they kind of kicked our ass every single time. And Okoro is like last year's Chuma Okiki, and Okiki went off on us. Like it was just like, you honestly had to just sit back and like appreciate how well he was able to just carve us up. And that was when we had our best team since you want to go back to the Bernie and Ernie times. So I think things are going to spiral out of control faster than expected after having such a demoralizing loss today. You got to go on the road to Arkansas. Arkansas hasn't looked good, but we don't usually play well at the Bud Walton Arena.
And they should be getting Isaiah Joe back. He should be back and playing is the thought down there.
And then you got Florida. Florida, if they win out, they can still win the SEC tournament. Or, I mean, win the SEC championship. And then, like, Kentucky and Auburn, like, yeah, man, like, I just don't see it happening. I made a bet with Nate earlier that I feel like the Vols got a better chance of losing out than, or it's more likely the Vols either, one, win out or lose out versus just win one game or lose the rest, you know?
No, that's really confusing. I don't know.
That was kind of confusing. So it was 25-1 odds that either if the Vols win out or lose every single game, I get $25. But if they just win one, then I got to pay Nate $1.
You got to pay $1. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was a way better explanation.
I know. I really fucked it up. I was trying to, like, Houston was making a play on Tampa Bay, and I kind of got lost on that. So
it's all right. It's okay,
buddy. It happens.
Did you see the update from Joe Lunardi? Apparently, he broke into the SEC Network's Arkansas-Missouri game and said that Tennessee had moved into NCAA tournament consideration with today's win. Oh, you guys talked about that.
Hayden actually just mentioned it while you were gone, John.
Okay, that's on me. So that's good. So Tennessee would have been on the bubble, which...
Oh, the bubble's relative.
The bubble is relative, and I've had to say this so many damn times this year. I'm not giving up yet. This team showed you for the first 30 minutes why they could potentially get back in the tournament. They showed you that they can play, that they probably are one of the 68 best teams. But over the last 10 minutes, they showed you why they are finding themselves currently on the outside looking in. Can they go on Wednesday? Wednesday, right?
They play Wednesday now.
And beat Arkansas? Sure, they can. Can they go there and get blown out? Yeah, probably equally as likely. I mean, Arkansas is a must-win game, though. You would think so, especially the way they're trending. I guess technically you could win three in a row after that, but the most likely way to get three wins of this five-game stretch was always to beat Arkansas, right? Like every permutation has a win at Arkansas.
Yeah, I think something Davey mentioned about Okoro coming back.
Yeah.
When Auburn was missing all those threes in the first half, and we were talking there, like, they're not a great shooting team. They just kept firing them up.
Oh, yeah. They eventually hit some. They shoot 26, over 26 a game, and do it at a 30% clip. So, like, they don't shoot very well, but they shoot volume. And to their credit, they hit a couple when they had to. You know, they hit a couple down the stretch, including with, like, I think a minute 15, minute 30 left that gave them a three-point lead. For the game, they shot 35%, which is better than their average, but it wasn't like they were just blistering from three. They finished 7 of 20. It wasn't like Tennessee got shredded on the three-point line. Ironically enough, it was when Auburn decided they were done shooting threes that they made their big comeback, right? When all of a sudden they're like, hey, let's go down low because these guys can't guard us. That's when they made their real big move.
I haven't watched much of Auburn this year, but is that the shot that Okoro's usually shooting? Is those wing threes that they were?
Okoro's a guy that likes to get to the rim.
Okay.
He is one of those slashers that can get to the rim and finish at a high clip there. He's not got much of a jump shot right now. So, I mean, it wasn't like he would have changed that for them when it comes to their three-point shooting. He probably would have been giving us more of a problem by just getting to the rim where we couldn't block him. I mean, I thought at the beginning of the game, and I said it here at Hops and Hollers to some of our listeners who came, I didn't particularly like John Fulkerson trying to block a shot a minute into the game. I don't know what the benefit is there. Sure, if you successfully block it, maybe you could tell the Auburn players, hey, this is my house. Don't come down low. You're going to get blocked. I guess maybe that could happen, and maybe you set a tone there, but otherwise you have a foul like John Fulkerson did. He picks up a second one 3 minutes later, and then your guy who is flirting with all SEC, or at least playing at an all SEC level, he's on the bench the next 17 minutes. Which, I mean, I guess Tennessee played pretty good in the first half after he went to the bench, but still, he is a very important player for Tennessee. And, you know, he was gone in the first half, and I just didn't really like that. And then he played the whole second half without fouling, so go figure. No, Okoro Hayden is just a 27% three-point shooter. He's not someone who would stretch the floor for them by any means. He is someone who would have been attacking us at the rim. I mean, when you look at the box score, Tennessee shot a higher percentage from the field, a higher percentage from three, barely. Auburn hit one more three than them, but Tennessee took three less. Tennessee was 16 of 17 from the free throw line, so the only miss was on that Pons 1-1. Ponce had a 1-1 in the second half that he missed. But outside of that, Tennessee hit every one of their free throws. The offensive rebounding was pretty even, 14 to 15. Auburn had one more. Tennessee had 10 more defensive rebounds, 9 more rebounds total, 1 more assist, and then you get to the turnovers and the steals, and that's where Auburn thrived. Have you seen how many steals Auburn had today? Don't look. You want to guess how many they had? Because Tennessee turned the ball over a lot. You want to guess how many steals Auburn had?
16.
Close. 18. 18 steals. Which is a really stupid, crazy high number. But that's how you make up a difference. Auburn, 11 turnovers. Tennessee, 24. That's how you lose the game. Despite shooting better and rebounding better and doing all those things better, you just turn the ball over.
And we were still turning the ball over in the first half. It wasn't like it was just a second half thing. It just killed us in the second half.
Because Tennessee mixed in scoring droughts with the steals, yeah. right? Like, in the first half, you were turning the ball over, but you were still able to get a bucket on the next possession to kind of offset that. And Auburn wasn't really scoring. But in the second half, when things came unraveled, Tennessee was turning it over. Auburn was getting easy shots. They hit some threes. And Tennessee just couldn't score. They went, you know, over 6 minutes without scoring. And that's a recipe for disaster, obviously.
Austin Wiley only had 9.7 rebounds, but it felt like that was all in the first half. I mean, when they went on that run, he wasn't even a factor, in my opinion. And that's who Fulkerson got the first two fouls on.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be a long day after that.
It wasn't like Auburn had anybody go off. Like, you know, that was one of the things we talked about on Talk Sports, is that when I think of Bruce Pearl teams, you know, I asked you what you thought, and I think of depth, right? Guys who could score a bunch of points. And that's what Auburn had. They had Doughty, is that how he says his name?
Samir Doughty.
Doughty. Dowdy scored 22, but outside of that, you had a guy of 9, 8, 5, 8, 7, 9. Like, you had guys just chipping in their usual 8 to 10 points and, you know, creating some balance. Whereas Tennessee, they need a couple guys to get in double figures. They don't have that scoring balance. And tonight they didn't have it. And tonight they lost. And this was an abysmal loss. It was bad. It was right at the cusp. I was excited. We're about to win. As Joe Lunardi said, you're about to be back on the bubble, and you would have had people buying back into this program. I had people that hadn't texted me about basketball in 2 months texting me about the basketball game. The group chat had fired back up. People were excited, like, hey, what's our chances of making the tournament if we win this game? Wow, we look really good. And then by the end of the game, 10 minutes later, oh, never mind. Same old Vols. Same old Vols. 865-546-8200 if you want to get back in. Let's try John again. John, welcome back to the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite. Jake, we'll get to you next. John, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? Are we still on the radio?
No, we are app only.
Okay, what the fuck was Rick saying in this press conference about not calling a timeout? That's the most ridiculous reasoning I've ever heard.
He was basically saying, I can't draw up a play to get my players to execute, so I'm not bothering with the timeout. That's one way to look at it.
That's horribly damning. Even if you're not, I mean, granted, their execution at timeouts has not been good because the play seems stupid. They don't know where they want to go with the ball. But, like, even if that's the case, settle them down at least, right? I mean, we're running around like chickens with their heads cut off. We can't dribble the ball without Vescovi on the floor, which is a huge problem. But that's a horrible excuse by him. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is something that, you know, he's had his moments throughout his tenure here where he has been grumpy Rick. You know what I mean? Like, grumpy.
Yeah.
The players are bad. It's not my fault. But tonight, after
blowing an 18-point lead.
And a 20 to 2 run, maybe now you say, you know what? I fucked up. My bad.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. He has consistently thrown the players under the bus. I mean, his whole career here, it seems like. The first 2 years, he shit on the players every time he was in front of a microphone.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was the one poor kid's name. Detrick Mostella. Mostella got the
dude, he ran him off.
The front. Yeah.
Stuff like that is really frustrating. Like, we've had 2 good years, but, you know, as soon as things start going poorly, it's, you know, directly back to, well, and even when we lost games during the 2 years that were good, he blamed Bone for things. And, like, I don't know. He frustrates me, man.
I get really frustrated, too, and you're right. He did do that with Bone. He did do that with Grant. He did do that with Admiral. Those guys responded well. Now, you could probably make the argument that Bone maybe had enough of that shit and said, you know what, now that I got a grade where I can go to the NBA, I'll go sit in the G League and make some money rather than being run down by my coach. But for Grant,
I think that's exactly what happened.
I think so. I think that plays a big part of it.
Yeah. I mean, we saw all the articles by, you know, the Volquist guys and the 247 guys that he's, like, super hard on Bone all the time. And then, you know, I don't understand how he's then just totally baffled that Bone leaves. It has no plan to replace him, you know? It's like, well, hey, you know, if you shit on the dude every day and you constantly talk about how he does things wrong and you never give me slack, maybe he doesn't want to play for you.
At a certain point, I mean, yeah, at a certain point, like, you know, Lamonte spoke glowingly of Barnes, and his he had The Athletic did a piece with Dane O'Neill, and Lamonte talked about how he loved the hard coaching from Barnes. And, you know, Jordan Bone talked glowingly about Barnes whenever he would talk to the media, too. But I do think that when it comes down to, well, would I rather go make $200,000 or get yelled at and shit on? There's probably some to that. You know, I'm not going to say that he straight up ran Jordan Bone off, but I would say it played into the equation. And, you know, when you're looking this year, you know, you brought up the VolQuest guys. I believe I heard in one of their podcasts, they were talking about how Pons will get a lot of interest from overseas teams. Like, he might not be a professional NBA player this year, but that someone like Real Madrid or some team from overseas would offer him some money to come over there and play. And, you know, if you think that way about this, if you think that way about Pons, I would have to think that way about Vescovi too, when it comes to getting some overseas money. And, you know, they probably don't like
Pons
yelled
was at. Married.
Yeah.
Pons is married. I don't know if he has a kid, but he has like family. I didn't know that until recently. I could totally see him leaving. It wouldn't be surprising at all. And, you know, Vescovi is good. And he is the most fun thing to watch about this team right now. And I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. I would hate for him to be like, well, hey, I don't understand English that well. My coach seems mad at me all the time. Like, what am I doing here? You know, hopefully that's not the case, but
It gets tiresome. As a fan, I get tired of hearing it. As a radio media personality, whatever the hell I am, I roll my eyes at it and think that it's bad excuses and poor form. And I can't imagine the players feel similarly about it. Appreciate the phone call, man. You got anything else for us?
Nah, dude. Take it easy. Good luck tonight dealing with this.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Or the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah. Hopefully we just got another 30 minutes or so, but I appreciate you calling back. Let's keep it moving, Davey. Let's grab Jake. Jake's been on hold. Jake, welcome to the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite.
What's up, guys? I think the last guy hit it right on the head. I'm pretty sick and tired of Rick Barnes not taking any accountability for his coaching decisions, and you saw it today, is pretty much just coaching malpractice the entire game. It came with a lot of turnovers and a lot of stagnant offense in the second half, and if you look back, one of our last really crushing defeats was Mississippi State, and we actually had the lead at halftime in that game. So when it comes down to closing out games, it's just so frustrating that you don't see this team playing well down the stretch and executing the offense like they were earlier in the game.
Yeah, no, that's a good callback to Mississippi State, because Tennessee went there, I want to say, with a 6-point halftime lead, and then you completely fell apart. And to me, you didn't fall apart offensively, Jake. To me, in the Mississippi State game, you fell apart defensively. Today, I think you just fell apart at the seams, both ways, offense and defense.
Yeah, the whole stand around and dribble to the shot clock gets down to about 8 and give it to Bowden and try to let him create something. Just, it doesn't work, and I don't know what Rick Barnes sees, how that doesn't work. Like, every single player on the floor is moving in the first half, and we're getting some good passes down low, good looks, hitting our shots, and then the offense just goes completely stagnant when we feel like we have the lead. It's almost reminiscent of 2016 Butch Jones football. It just makes me wonder, what exactly is Rick Barnes thinking in these situations to not take accountability for not calling a timeout in the second half in his press conference?
I get that he doesn't want to admit defeat. I get that mindset, right, where you just don't want to admit you're wrong. And you don't want to admit that you cost your team and that you could have done something different to get the biggest win of the year, right? Like, today would have been the biggest win of the year, right? I mean, Washington has shit the bed. They're no longer a quality win. VCU is trending downwards. They're no longer that quality of a win.
I think Alabama is your best win based on net ranking.
Who was
Alabama. Based on the
Alabama.
Net. Yeah.
Okay, and that was on the road, so, but I think Auburn's higher in the net ranking.
Oh, it would have been. I was just saying, so far, your best win is Alabama.
Sure. But I'm saying, like, you know, Auburn would have been a much better win than that, correct?
Oh, by far.
Yeah, so this would have been the best win. It could have saved your season. Again, Joe Lunardi said you would have been back in the bubble conversation, and for whatever reason, Rick Barnes fell asleep professionally. Like, he was awake, I think. I saw him standing up, but he fell asleep professionally. And he helps cost his team the win. And I know that it's hard to get up there and admit that, but hey, Rick, guess what? Let's have a talk.
Another thing that's just completely inexcusable you saw throughout the second half.
Jake, I'm having a talk with Rick. Just give me 1 second to talk with Rick. Because, hey, Rick, you make $5 million a year. Your players are unpaid. When it comes time to hold someone accountable, I'm always going to hold accountable the guy who makes $5 million a year and is, what, the third highest paid coach in college basketball? It is always going to be your responsibility over the unpaid kids that you recruited here and that you're responsible for molding. You got the money because of Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. I'm not sure you developed them. I'm not sure they weren't just special. So until you develop another batch of special teams and special talent, I'm holding you accountable. I'm holding you accountable, sir. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, at this point, we're even lucky to have kids that he actually recruited be here right now. Here's another question. What do you think about Steve Forbes?
Seems like they're pretty good. I mean, if you're asking me about like being the next coach, like you're not going to get me excited about the idea of Steve Forbes, but it's nice, unlike football, right? It's nice, unlike football, to have someone kind of waiting in the chamber to come and maybe, quote, save the program, or someone that you know or at least have a really good feeling that you could call and hire, right? With football, we haven't had that, which is why every time we have a coaching search, we have to, you know, go around in circles and pretend like we're getting Gruden or call Greg Schiano or do whatever the hell we're doing, because we don't have anybody that we can really groom to be that next guy. Forbes is someone who has Tennessee ties, that loves Tennessee, that maybe Tennessee, you know, would be the absolute floor of a ceiling hire, and he might be a really, really high floor. So my thoughts on Steve Forbes is that he's a really good coach, and that, you know, if you asked me if I thought he would ever be the coach of Tennessee, I'd say it's probably a 50-50 proposition in the future, right? I mean, it's at least 50-50. I like
Well, here's one thing I do know, that he would have called a timeout right there.
That's a good way to leave that call, Jake. Appreciate the phone call, brother. 865-546-8200. I would imagine that's crazy. Hayden, I watch a lot of basketball. Granted, most of my basketball I watch is the NBA, right? Different sport. I've not seen too many 18-0 runs without a timeout. Like, Greg Popovich will call a timeout after, like, two bad possessions. The only coach, like, in the history that was famous for not calling timeouts was Phil Jackson, right? Like, Phil Jackson was infamous for not calling timeouts during runs because he was like, I want my team to figure it out because they need to know how to do it in the playoffs. Well, Phil Jackson had Michael Jordan, and Phil Jackson had Scottie Pippen, and Phil Jackson had Kobe Bryant and Shaq and Pau Gasol. Those guys can maybe figure things out. I don't necessarily trust Josiah Jordan James to figure things out. I don't trust Pons to work through this. Every other basketball coach, I think, in the entire country would have caught a timeout there.
Yeah, I think to that point, I mean, this is the playoffs for us.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
It is. This is go time. Good point by you.
Yeah, I mean, during that run, you see, I think we've thoroughly figured out that the pick and roll with Triple J and Fulkerson is not a good enough offense to sustain a team like Auburn. Like, it's just not going to hold them off. And it's just frustrating that having Vescovi on the floor is the difference in us being up 17 and us giving up an 18-point run when he's not an amazing player on defense. It's just that he can dribble the ball. And Bowden is – great player today, but Bowden's best off the ball. And we've seen that this whole second half of the season.
I mean, we know Bowden's best attribute is when he runs off screens, right? Like when Bowden runs off the screen and shoots his mid-range jumper or catch-and-shoot threes. Now, you know, Bowden was in his back today. He was playing pretty well, but he's going to wear down if he's having to bring the ball up 80 feet and get into the offense and try to score. So, like – I'm really frustrated. And my big takeaway today, outside of Rick Barnes, because we've said all we can say about Rick Barnes, it's not like Tennessee's going to fire him. It's not like they're going to fire him and replace him with Steve Forbes. So that conversation is pointless. Like, Rick Barnes is going to be the coach here at least for 2 more years. At least. I would say at least 3 years. Unless Texas fires Shaka Smart and then says, hey, Rick, come back. We're sorry. But Texas won last week, earlier this week, against
TCU.
They're up 17 on Kansas State. Hell, maybe Shaka Smart saves his job there. I don't know. But otherwise, Rick Barnes is going to be here at least 3 years. So I'm not talking about firing Rick Barnes. I'm not a smooth brain. I don't think that we're going to fire him. I know better. But my other takeaway is just how disappointed I am with Josiah Jordan-James. I don't want to single him out. But, like, he is supposed to be a smart basketball player. Right, Hayden? Like, the conversation surrounding Josiah might be like, hey, he's not an aggressive scorer. He's not someone who's going to go to the rim and shoot a bunch and score a bunch of points. And I think we are all okay with that. I think we're like, you know what? We don't need you to force the shots. Just play basketball. But a part of playing basketball and having a quote-unquote high basketball IQ, which is what we've all said about Josiah, is that when your team is struggling and your team needs somebody to handle the ball, you're a five-star. You have to be the one that can get up and down the court dribbling and get your team into offense. Again, I don't need Josiah to come out and score 15 points. That ship has sailed. I don't think he's going to be that type of player here this year. Maybe next year, maybe as a sophomore. But this year, him as a scorer, I've given up any type of hope. But I hope that he can at least learn how to dribble a basketball and get your team in offense. He's a five-star. And Tennessee desperately needs a player to do that, and he couldn't do it for you today. And that really just disappoints me and frustrates me.
Yeah, I mean, you could make the argument that he's still hurt. But even when he was healthy this year, he still hasn't been wanting to run the offense through him and pretty much take over for Lamonte, which is what we needed before Vescovi. So I'm not sure if a summer is going to help him. I mean, we heard that he was a pass-first point guard that was taller coming in here.
Right. Right.
That's what
he's someone expecting. Who had some good highlight scoring, but for the most part, you're supposed to be your glue type of guy. Like, not the superstar who's going to come in and score 25 points and, like, not pass the ball and, hey, I'm a five-star who wants all the shots. For better or worse, like, that's not his game. I prefer the basketball player who plays a complete game. But Tennessee needs him to play a complete game, and today he didn't do that. He didn't give you anything. He didn't give you the scoring. He only scored 4 points. And he didn't give you the creation. All he gave you was turnovers. And that was really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. 865-546-8200. He had two timeouts left. That's the crazy thing. Is it wasn't like he had one timeout left. It's like, hey, I have to save this timeout during this run. He had three at the time. He called one at the end of the game and left with two. That's the frustrating part. Let's go back to the phone line. Let's grab Taylor. Taylor, welcome to the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Not so good right now, but I hope you're well.
Well, I hate to be the dead horse, but I haven't said it all year, but I just can't hold it no more. How do you find a five-star McDonald's All-American who is afraid to even step foot on the court?
Tennessee's done it. I don't know how to do it, but Tennessee's done it.
Like, I've never seen a five-star who can't even hold the ball when he gets a rebound.
The thing that's crazy, Taylor, is that you would think a five-star would be the cockiest player on the team. You know what I mean? Like, for better or worse, a five-star is supposed to be coming in with the ultimate confidence. And that's what's been so maddening to me is that, you know, I'm not going to say he's scared to step on the court, but he's scared to dribble the ball. He's scared to shoot it. He's scared to take over and say, hey, guys, clear out. I got this. I'm breaking the defense down. He is definitely scared to do that. You are 100% right about that, Taylor.
Like, UT must be the best at it. I don't know how we get these five-star players that play like two stars. I just don't understand it.
We are on a pretty good run between that and Hubs.
And I was going to talk about Barnes, but you're right. I mean, he's here for at least 2 or 3 years.
Unless Barnes leaves and takes another job, we are not firing Rick Barnes. So, you know, I'm not going to even.
No one's going to offer him $5 million a year.
Right. Like I said, the only way I see it is if Texas is firing Shaka Smart and says, hey, we're sorry, come back home. Or, you know, maybe Indiana fires Archie Miller and they can't hire somebody attractive. Maybe they would hire Rick Barnes. So, like, there is a small possibility someone would hire him. And who knows, Rick Barnes might look around and say, I don't like Knoxville so much. Those people on Fan Run Radio talk a lot of shit about me. Maybe we'd run him off. I don't know. But I'm not going to entertain the idea of any other coaches, or I'm not even going to talk about firing him because he hasn't done a bad enough job to get fired. But I'm going to call him out on his bullshit. And today was a lot of bullshit, and it has to get better. And I'm less excited about all the five stars coming in next year because so far we haven't seen five stars play well under Rick Barnes here at Tennessee. And Kevin Durant ain't walking through those doors.
No, you're right. Yeah, after seeing Josiah, Jordan James, I'm not even sure these five-star dudes will be worth any count at this point with our track record.
It takes the excitement. It takes the excitement down a couple notches for sure.
Jaden Springer's legit. I'll go on record.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue the opposite. I'm not going to say they're not legit. I'm just saying I'm not looking and saying, oh, we got five stars. Things are going to be great next year. Now, but Tennessee's going to have depth next year, so Tennessee should have a better basketball team. You would hope these guys could at least dribble a basketball. I'll give them that.
No, that's what I was saying on Twitter when on one of your tweets. You have Vescovi bouncing the basketball off Pond's foot, walking it up half court.
Between that,
how is that even possible?
Those are two of the absolute worst plays. Between the dribbling off your teammate's back and getting a 10-second call with literally no pressure or very limited pressure, one man pressure. Those are two of the most embarrassing basketball plays I've ever seen at Tennessee.
And the 5-second call to start the second half.
And the 5-second call to start the second half, Hayden. I thought you were asleep over there. I thought you were pulling Rick Barnes. You hadn't talked in the last 20 minutes. But then you come in with a dynamite drop in. We got a 5-second call to start the fucking second half. The second half, where you can throw the ball into the back court. You can throw the ball in the front court. You have the entire court at your disposal. And we got a 5-second call. What the fuck was that?
It was an omen.
It was an omen. We should have turned the TV off, but then we got a 17-point lead. We played good after that. So frustrating.
I mean, it's easy to hate on Barnes. It really is, but when you see plays like that every single game, I feel sorry for the dude, honestly. Like, yeah. When he comes out and says, there's no point in me even drawing up plays because they can't run it anyway. Like, what do you do with that?
I guess you do nothing. I guess you just sit there and draw your check and don't coach and say, well, I'm going to coach next year. Hey, let's defer some of this money to next year. I'll only take $3 million this year. Give me $7 million next year whenever we're good. Maybe that's what he's doing. I don't know. Anything else for me, brother?
No, that's it.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Stay positive or try to enjoy the rest of your Saturday. I don't know. I hate that this Saturdays are ruining my day. These games are ruining my Saturdays. This is just like football for me. I know a lot of Tennessee basketball fans don't feel this way, but I love Tennessee basketball, and them losing the way they lost today ruins my day. It makes me very angry. Granted, I'm still trying to bounce back, and I'm trying to watch maybe some XFL later today. Going to go watch Tyson Fury, try to do that. I got some good wasabis at home from leftovers from last night. I'm trying to stay positive, but right now, Davey, I'm sick to my stomach. It has gutted me losing the game the way we did today. Gutted me.
It just makes it worse, too, that it's your former coach doing the beating to you.
I'm going to be honest. That's not even really in the equation for me. I get that. I understand if it is for most people. I fully support that. I understand. But for me, that ranks very low on the list. For me, it's just the fact that this was a quality win, would have been the best win of the year, would have got you back on the right side of the bubble, or at least on the bubble. Maybe not on the right side, but on the bubble for the tournament. And could have really sprung-boarded you for the last four games. That's what it is for me. I don't even really give a damn that Bruce Pearl was on the sideline or that he used to coach in Knoxville. It's just the fact that we blew a 17-point lead in embarrassing fashion. And you have national publications like Barstool Bets talking about how you shit the bed. And everyone across the country is looking to see that you shit the bed. You didn't even cover the spread. It was a 6.5-point spread. You lost by 7. So anybody dumb enough to back the stupid fucking team in the points, they're mad. Not speaking from experience. Let's move on. Do we still got Kevin on the line?
Yeah.
Or is that Kevin we just talked to? Okay, we got Kevin on the line. Kevin, welcome to the Voluntary Action presented by Miller Lite.
Guys, I'm sick. I'm disgusted. I'm sad. But there's one thing in particular that I want to get y'all's take on, and it's the fact that in the last three games, we have had a collapse with the lead. We beat Vanderbilt, but, I mean, that was a horrendous collapse at the end of the game. South Carolina were up 6 with just, 2 minutes to play, walk out of there with a loss, obviously today being the worst one.
Oof.
I mean, what do you guys think? Is this a player thing? I put it on Barnes. I mean, 3 times in a row, that's not a fluke. I don't know what you guys think.
Are the players losing their mind, Kevin? Sure. The players are not handling pressure well. But again, ultimately, I am going to blame that on the coaching. We're going to hold some players accountable, like, you know, the new whipping boy. It used to be Lamonte. Lamonte used to kind of be our whipping boy because he was the one kind of turning the ball over here and missing shots. The new whipping boy is Josiah. Bowden had it for a little bit, but you're not going to, you know, criticize Bowden today. So Josiah is going to be the guy who gets criticized all week. But ultimately for me, it's coming down to the coaches who make $5 million that can't draw up a play to get you an easy bucket to maybe stop a team from going on an 18 to nothing run.
Right. And I mean, the fact 3 games in a row, I put it all on Barnes. And the frustrating thing is Barnes is not the kind of guy who in the press conference comes out and says, you know, hey, put this one on me. You know, you hear Jeremy Pruitt say that after every loss.
He starts with me. Not only does he not say put it on me, he has never said that. He has never even, yep. has he ever defended his players? I know he got a technical during the game. That was cool. Shout out to Barnes for getting a technical in the first half. But I think about the post-game press conference where he says, hey, my players, there's no reason for me to call a timeout. They don't listen to me sometimes. That's bullshit. But also, like, hey, John Fulkerson, no, you didn't get fouled. That was a charge. Oh, no, Lamonte, you didn't get screwed. You fouled Carson Edwards. Like, it seems constant that the only, you know, the only consistency Barnes has is that he is going to shit on his own team one way or the other.
Well, and even if it's not a defending in like a foul call situation, it's, yeah, Fulky, you know, he doesn't ask for the ball or whatever. He critiques his player's game when he could have said, you know what, maybe I should have took a timeout. You know what, maybe I should have, you know, put us in a better position to not blow a 6-point lead at South Carolina. I don't know, guys. Barnes is the best kind of coach that we can reasonably expect or hope for at Tennessee, honestly. But so I'm not like someone that thinks it's a good idea to run him off, but like he's got to be better.
Sure. I mean, I think that's fair. Again, you know, when you start talking about firing Rick Barnes, I think you lose any credibility. So like, I'm glad we're not doing that.
Yeah.
But it is fair to question like, hey, like, is this guy going to learn from mistakes so far? We're in year five. He's doing the same shit he's done his whole career. If you go back, Kevin, I don't know how big of a Tennessee basketball fan you are. I'd imagine you're pretty big to be still willing to talk about this after an hour on a Saturday, right? Like most people have moved on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I'd say it's a pretty unhealthy relationship.
So you're right here with me. Do you remember Rick Barnes year one, year two? Because we had a pretty, you know, we had some leads in year one, year two against some pretty big opponents that we could not hold. And it was the same stuff with the timeouts then. Like he couldn't protect double digit leads even in year one and year two, and everyone's like, hey, it's not a big deal. The team's not very good. This team isn't good. He's overachieving. Not a big deal. But it's the same mistakes in year five.
Yep. Well, thanks for taking my call. I'm gonna hop into the Y and strike some threes to take my mind off this debacle.
There you go. You go out there. Hey, you go out there and you hit some shots. You go out there and hit some shots. Maybe even dribble the basketball up and down the court to say, you know what? If Tennessee had me, this all would have gone differently. Kevin, I appreciate you listening, brother. I appreciate the phone call. Have a good workout. Hayden, do you remember that from year one and year two?
Who was it? North Carolina?
North Carolina. Gonzaga. I think there was a Gonzaga game there. I think there was some other non-conference games too, even against, or maybe some conference games. Like I feel like we blew a 17-point lead to something like Ole Miss or somebody in year one or year two. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but like, I remember that was a conversation that I would have with my friends at the time. Like, what the hell? Why can't we hold a lead? And everyone, you know, eventually was just like, hey, Tennessee isn't very good. There's no talent on this team. It'll be okay. And we looked over it, and, you know, things got better. Obviously, like, you know, we had pretty good regular seasons the last 2 years. Did we win in the tournament? No. But that's okay. I'm not even someone who really gets mad about that. I look at the big picture. I'm like, hey, if you have a good regular season, to me, that's almost more important than the tournament because the tournament is a random one-game sample. I don't let that ruin my view. Did losing to Purdue suck? Yes. But it didn't suck as much as it was for it to be cool that you were number one in the country for a month. Like, to me, I was like, you know, last year was fun. Last year was good.
Exactly.
So that's like, how I feel too. Yeah. I don't even get on Barnes for that. But the same constant timeout shit, like, that's just – it's been plaguing him for 5 years.
We did it to North Carolina twice.
Yeah.
Away and at home. We've got big leads.
As Jonathan Toy, he writes in. Shout out to Jonathan Toy listening in Texas. He says we blew a 25-point lead to fucking Iowa last year. We did. We did blow a 25-point lead to Iowa in the tournament. And we almost got bounced in the second round.
Is that the one where we set Grant on the bench for like 10 minutes?
I don't know if it was because against Purdue, we also set we set Grant Williams at the beginning of overtime against Purdue.
Maybe that was it.
Maybe we did against Iowa too, but Iowa caught fire and, you know, came back and you almost blew a 25-point lead there. Or you did blow it, but you were able to win in overtime. This team has problems, man. Rick Barnes has problems. Great point by Jonathan Toy. Appreciate you listening, Texas brother. I love you. 865-546-8200. Phone lines are open, correct, Davey?
Yeah, we're all three lines are open.
Okay, we will stay open for a couple minutes. Last call for phone calls if you guys want to weigh in. Because I don't know if you could see it, Hayden. My blood is boiling. My blood pressure is through the roof right now. This feels like a football loss to me.
I mean, last week, at least they had the common decency to blow the game at 8 o'clock and not at 2 o'clock.
Got to be honest.
Go straight to bed.
Got to be honest. On Saturday, I was out celebrating a friend's birthday. I watched it at the bar. I remember losing. When my man Kevin said we blew a 6-point lead with 2 minutes, I didn't even remember that. I was out celebrating. I went through axes. I was out downtown having drinks, celebrating birthdays. I remembered losing. I remember being mad, but I didn't remember how bad it was. I remember the last play wasn't very good. Like, hey, we tried to give it to John Fulkerson in the high post. Like, he's going to do anything with it. Oh, wait, charge. Okay. But I forgot that we blew a 6-point lead with a couple minutes left. But like you said, at least that was with the common decency of it being Saturday at 8 o'clock. Last call for phone calls, 865-546-8200. 865-546-8200. Shout out to Hayden's sweet girlfriend who's been sitting in the car waiting for him. If you need to go tend to her, feel free. I told her we'd do an hour. It's been about an hour and 15 minutes. So apologies to her. She's listening on the radio. She came to Hops and Hollers to support the brand. We appreciate her. I don't want her sitting in the car being mad at you ruining your Saturday. So feel free to go if you have to, Hayden. I appreciate you for sitting with me.
Maybe we just suck on Saturdays.
Maybe we just suck on Saturdays. It's been a while since we won a Saturday game, I feel like.
We lost Kentucky on Saturday. South Carolina on Saturday. Mississippi State on Saturday.
Was the Alabama game on a Saturday, maybe? Or was that two? No, that was the middle of the week, right?
Yeah, it was a midweek game.
When's the last time we won a Saturday game?
The Alabama game is when I had the flu.
Okay, yeah, that was when I did by myself, yeah. Okay. Not to brag, did a whole radio show by myself. No big deal. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's get Brad. Brad's in Nashville. What's up, Brad? The floor is yours.
Hey, guys. I guess teams that can't win two games in a row don't deserve to be in the NCAA tournament. We had this thing won, and we gave it back to them. Obviously you guys have been over this ad nauseum. I guess, Barnes wanted to say those are the three timeouts in case he needed them in the last 10 seconds. It makes no sense. It's coaching malpractice and one of his main flaw in in-game management that, is readily apparent. Like there's some stuff he does good and there's some stuff he's just blind to, man. I don't get it.
So bad. The last time we went on Saturday was against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
January 18th. We haven't won a Saturday game in over a month.
That one shouldn't count. They've only won one SEC game in the past 2 years.
It doesn't even count because we didn't even play that well. When's the last time we played good on Saturday? The South Carolina game we won, but it was 56-55, and that was ugly. We lost to LSU. We lost to Wisconsin. Jacksonville State, they don't count. Lost to Memphis. We beat VCU on a Saturday. Saturday, November 30th, when I was in Indianapolis.
That was during the
Emerald Coast Classic on YouTube.
It was during the Vanderbilt football game.
Yes, it was. I was in Indianapolis watching it, and we didn't even play that well. We should have beat VCU by even more, but that's the last time we played good on Saturday. VCU, November 30th. Cancel all Saturday games. Cancel them.
Okay, give us one on Sunday every now and then. Let us miss that bullet for a change.
The Lady Vols aren't taking advantage of Sundays. Let us do it.
We beat Gonzaga on a Sunday.
Okay. That was last year?
Yeah, they were number one in the country.
Was that a Sunday?
Fairly certain.
Okay.
I'll double check.
Hayden is verifying, saying it was.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, those non-conference scheduled games can get kind of wacky as far as scheduling goes.
But, what's the biggest issue tonight? Like, what are you, if you're divvying out a pie chart, like how much you're giving coaching, how much you're giving to certain players, like what was the problem? Is there anything you want to add? I mean, I know you said we talked about ad nauseum, but like.
Yeah, we got a bunch of freshmen seeing significant playing time, including our point guard. I mean, he's young and he's running point for an SEC team playing a top 15 ranked team in the country. So, That he was giveth and taken away. Vescovi had made some obvious mistakes, and so it didn't. Some of them just feel like he isn't used to playing with the athleticism that we play here within the NCAA, where maybe in the NBA school he was making some passes there that here get picked off and knocked away. Some of the turnovers I feel like is just like an adjustment period for him. So hopefully we can turn it around. But unless we do a whole lot real quick, it's getting late pretty early as far as our NCAA hope goes. So maybe we can do stuff this week. We'll see.
It is getting late early. Appreciate the phone call, Brad, Nashville. It's getting late early. Tennessee has to go 3-1 down the stretch, and it has, what, two road games against Arkansas and Kentucky. You're going to have to go 3-1. You have to beat Arkansas and then win your two home games. It's possible.
Yep.
So I'm not riding this team off still. I've said this every fucking show, it feels like, but I can't quit this team because I see that this team does have some talent, and I do believe that this team, you know, can win some games. And I do think that Florida's not very good and that Tennessee can go to Arkansas and win. And that if that game was in Knoxville, maybe Auburn doesn't go on an 18-0 run. Like, you know, when they play here March 7th, like if that's in Knoxville, they might not go on an 18-0 run. And maybe Tennessee wins that game.
Going to have to win on at least one Saturday.
You're going to have to win on at least a Saturday, and we're not going to be able to do that, though. Davey, give me your final thoughts on the show as we wrap up this edition of the Voluntary Reaction. Actually, let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, what's up, Jonathan? Welcome to the Voluntary Reaction presented by Miller Lite.
Well, it's great to talk to you, John, but this was buried underneath all the other...
What's up, Toy?
This was buried beneath all the other dumb shit that happened today, but, like, Tennessee has, like, the worst closeouts on three-pointers I've ever seen, and this has been a problem under Barnes. I don't know if you remember, but the go-ahead three that Auburn hit with less than 2 minutes left, like, Josiah James, like, just, like, jumps, like, 10 feet in the air on, like, the easiest shot fake, when if he doesn't leave his feet, the guy probably doesn't take a three, but, like, I have not seen a time where Tennessee does not fall for that shot fake, and it just continued to irritate me.
Yeah, that was the three that McCormick hit to put him up by three. I'm not sure what the exact score was, but that put him up by three when the game was tied.
Yeah, with like a minute and 20 seconds left.
Yep.
Tennessee does not do good at understanding that a shot fake is coming, apparently.
Yeah, because it's been a problem because I went to the Texas A&M game last year, and the only reason the Aggies were in that game is because they got a lot of open threes just by doing a simple shot fake. Tennessee leaves their feet. And, John, you know way more about basketball than I do, but I think that's just bad fundamentals because, like, I feel like only bad things can happen when you leave your feet because you're probably not likely going to block the shot and you're probably going to, like, probably foul the guy. Like, it increases your chances of fouling. So,
and honestly, yeah, like, Toy, I know. Honestly, Toy, if you block the shot, it's probably going out of bounds. There is no point. There is no point in jumping out aggressively at an open three. I get that you want to, you know, mess up the vision and you know, not give open threes up, but, like, most of the things that can happen are pretty bad. You foul, or you block the ball and it goes out of bounds. Like, there's only, you know, very rarely do you block it and it comes back to you, or it goes off the opponent and goes out of bounds. Like, I mean, it's one of the plays that the risk is not really worth the reward sometimes. So you're right about that, Toy.
Yeah, I know it's a small gripe in a game when a lot of stuff went wrong, but it's just something that's, like, irritated me. And today it kind of hurt Tennessee. Like, who knows if Josiah doesn't leave his feet? Who knows what happens there?
Such a frustrating game. Such a frustrating game.
Well,
how's everything,
I guess,
with
one
you? You good?
I was just going to say one positive, John, is that I guess want to, like, be on a positive note, I listen to you guys' radio show quite a bit in Texas, and you guys continue to do a great job, and just keep up the great work, man.
Thank you, Toy. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday, my brother. All right, that's it for phone calls. Nobody's on the line, right, Davey?
Yeah, we're all clear.
Appreciate all the phone calls. Appreciate you, Davey, back in the studio holding us down. Appreciate Hobson Hollers for having us out. Miller Lite, truly. Everyone at Cherokee Distributing. Everyone who came out to hang out with us. Hayden, appreciate you for hanging around. Appreciate your lovely girlfriend for sitting in the car. Davey, give me your final thoughts on today's game and the rest of the season as we look forward to these last four games.
I want to say I'm surprised, but I'm not. I am happy that Houston Crest now owes me more money because he continues to bet the Vols. I was just looking at the BPI, and I'm about to just throw that statistic out, or that formula out completely, because it has us with a 51% chance of beating Auburn when they come back into Neyland at the last game of the regular season. But again, like, and I do want to say, like, I know I've been critical of Barnes. I'm not saying we need to fire him. I'm just saying I would take back Bruce Pearl over Rick Barnes because, well, one, Bruce continues to do less with more, or more with less, excuse me. And, man, it's just frustrating when you get in these situations and you just continue to shit the bed. But we all kind of knew coming into the season it probably wasn't going to be pretty. It hasn't been.
No.
But just continue to work, getting the guys that you know are going to be back next year. I would like for Bowden to at least have a little bit of a swan song and get at least a one win in the SEC tournament. But from what I've been seeing, man, I'm not going to project that they win another game this season. They probably will, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm having to put money on it, I'm not putting my money on the Vols.
I would definitely take Tennessee to win one of the last four games. I'm not giving up there, but I appreciate you, Davey. Thank you for your final thoughts. Let's go to Hayden. Hayden, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
You know, that last call did make me think about it. It was Jonathan, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, but one thing he said is that we're terrible at blocking shots, and that's something we've seen all season. We love to block shots.
Sure.
We love to. And that's what's killing us on the rebounding thing with the putbacks. We've seen that all year.
Today you saw it for sure. Like, Tennessee's going for every block, and you're leaving up some, you know, some rebounding, you know, rebounding putbacks.
We have four people trying to meet the ball at the glass, and it just, like, when they had the steal and Pons blocked it.
We had two guys go for the block.
Two guys under the goal.
So then the guy got his rebound and had an easy putback.
Yeah, so there's that. But for the rest of the season, I'm still going to watch. I mean,
I'm not giving up. Tennessee can go 3-1 down the stretch. Again, I'm not picking that, but today is obviously a negative. Don't get me wrong. I'm not coming here. There's zero moral victories to take out of this. But when we were looking at the last five games, I think we all looked and said this was the second least likely game we win, right?
Yes, Kentucky.
To me, Kentucky's the least likely game. A 9 o'clock tip at Rupp. Tennessee's not winning that game. I am not saying that by any means. But today we were like, okay, this is the second least likely game. So Tennessee can still win two home games and win in Arkansas. And that's what they're going to have to do. I'm not giving up on that. But today you squandered a golden opportunity. You squandered a golden opportunity. You would have been in if you'd have won this. If you'd have won today and beat Arkansas, Tennessee would have been back on the right side of the tournament. You'd have been back in the field.
So you think any variation of 3-1 will get us in? Any variation?
No, I think any variation of 3-1 gets you in a one game playoff in the SEC tournament, where you have to beat the 8-9 matchup or the 7-10 matchup. Like, I think Tennessee needs four more wins the rest of the year. So you can go 4-0 and you're probably in. But I think Tennessee 3-1 gets you on the bubble, gets you playing an SEC tournament game with a chance to get in. Without going, if you go 2-1 down the stretch, you're gonna have to win multiple games in the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get to at least Saturday. You're going to have to beat a Kentucky or an LSU or an Auburn on that Friday to have a chance.
I think even going 4-0, I don't think it's still going to put us in. Because even though the committee says it's not a one-game sample, I think they really look at that last game you play in the conference tournament as a method to get in.
Sure.
I think if we go in on a
– especially if Tennessee's playing against another bubble team, right? Because like,
I want it out.
Yeah, Tennessee could be playing somebody like Mississippi State or somebody like – or Arkansas. Someone that's like, hey – either you win or you're out. So you might be right on that. It might be for a tournament spot. I have nothing really to add. Again, I feel like I've made my points throughout the show. Appreciate all the calls. Appreciate the sponsors. Davey, appreciate you. Gonna go home and get ready for some boxing, I guess. Luka Doncic is a coward. They're holding him out of the game tonight so we don't get Trey versus Luka. Uh-huh. That was on my power rankings of things I'm most looking forward to this weekend. But Luka's sitting out tonight because it's a back-to-back. Coward.
Is it just for load management?
Yeah, just because it's on back-to-back, yeah. All right, appreciate all the listeners. Appreciate all the callers. Davey, take us out. We appreciate everyone. We appreciate Miller Lite. We'll do it again, I guess, in the middle of the week. I think Russell's going to handle this one on Wednesday night. So at least I'm out of that one. Okay. You might still have to do it, but maybe you can get Russell to get John Tyler or something to do it. Maybe you can get out of it, too. All right, appreciate everybody. Let's go.
Picking up a six-pack of beer on the way to the party is easy, but picking the right beer, even easier. Because with great taste, only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs, Miller Lite was brewed to be enjoyed from first to last. Miller Lite. Hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.